What a wonderful way to start the morning, really praising God in that way, really wonderful. And just so great to see all of you here today. And before I start to bring the word, I'd just like to honour each and every one of you. Honour those who have given their time to do what they've done in this building. We praise God for this building. It's such a provision to us. It's our church home. It's where we come to be family together, to unite together, to share together, to be one together. And it's just been wonderful, and there's many that have come and put in many hours, but there are others who have not been able to come and lift a brush, such as myself, but there's been prayer, there's been support, there's been encouragement, and it's just been wonderful to see a body of people come together and just see what we can do in God. And we often don't understand or realise the potential that God's given us and the abilities that he's given us to do until we come and pool everything together and work together. Then we really see how it outworks. And then, of course, it was all, for us, came together yesterday to see Brendan and Chloe. I said it right, Rachel. Brendan and Chloe together come and unite as husband and wife. And so, again, we do congratulate Carlin, Gary and Matt and Sam DeHaan on this beautiful union. And then to have all of our family together. But today my heart is full. My heart is full. It's full of joy because he is here. For no other reason than he is here. Because without him, none of those things are important. Nothing. It would just be a work here. It would just be painting. It would just be cleaning. It would become a mundane task. Just to be gathered together, even families we see today, gather together. But there is nothing. There is no depth. There's no richness. There's no reality. The reality is because he is here. He's not only in this house, but he must be in this house. And this morning I praise God that the whole theme of this morning has been around Jesus, our beautiful Saviour, about the power of the Holy Spirit and his restoring work. Robin brought so beautifully about that abundance that can be ours. But you see, it's a choice that we make to have that abundance. We all make choices, and so it's about choice. And my message this morning is about that choice. It's about restoration. It's about reconciliation. It's about life. It's about all of the things that Jesus came to bring me. He came to bring you, if you would choose to receive it. You know, over these last weeks, we've had this beautiful, refreshing rain. A lot of people complain about rain, but I see it as such a blessing to God. Of God. It refreshes the earth. It cleanses the earth from disease and sickness. It brings beautiful, fresh, new growth. It brings pleasure to our eyes. I love to walk in the rain, not heavy, pelting rain, but when it's a fine rain, there's nothing more refreshing than to walk in the rain. And we need the rain to come and bring a source of life. And it flows into the rivers, and the streams become rivers, and they flow. And this morning I want to speak about a river. I want to speak about the river of life, the river that God has given us. And you know, we look at rivers in our natural, we look at the rivers in our world, and they all have a source. They all have a beginning or a place from where the water flows. But in God, the beginning is in him. This river of life, the source is him. The source is him, and he's the one who feeds us. And so this morning I want to speak out of Ezekiel. And this message I bring could go over three messages. There is so much, but today, in the time I have, I'm asking the Lord just to bring what he would want you to hear this morning. And so we look at Ezekiel 47, verses 1 to 6. And then he brought me back to the door of the temple. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around onto the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me to the water, and the water came up to my knees. And again he measured 1,000 and he brought me through the water, and it came up to my waist. And again he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that cannot be crossed. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the water, to the bank of the river. Father God, I just pray now, as I bring forth this word that you have laid upon my heart, that, Lord God, I would bring it appropriately, that I would bring an understanding of your word, that, Lord, your spirit might bring to the heart of each one what you're saying to us today, that we might know your word, that we might live your word, that we might obey your word. So I just thank you now and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And this was a prophetic word that Ezekiel had, because he desired to see the children of Israel come into freedom. But the word is for us today. And obviously, the door of the house is Jesus, because he is the one, it says, as Robin brought this morning, he is the shepherd, but he is the door. He is the door in which in which we enter into the kingdom. And the house is symbolic of the church, the body of Christ. But it also speaks about the church building in a lower level. And we know that these waters came from under the altar, and so there's no doubt that these waters speak of the Holy Spirit and the growth of the believer in the church. And these waters do not originate at the altar, but they gain access from the very throne of God. And I believe that's what God is wanting us to understand today, that everything comes from him, and we need to be centered in him so that we might have. And we know that the word of God speaks much about the water of life. It talks about the refreshing as we come into salvation, and it talks about that growth and about that refreshing. And in the Old Testament, a way of saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, is about the spiritual growth in your life. The line in the man's hand speaks of the word of God, and it's the word of God that we must grow by. It's the word of God that measures us. It is the word of God that we measure ourselves by. But you see, we are people that think a lot with our minds, and God wants us to put away our thinking, and he wants us to be moved by his spirit. And if you watch and see little children, you know, we all have see children, and we go down to the beach, or you may go to a wading pool, and they just go in and they stand with their little feet and they paddle around, and they don't, it takes a while for them to get strong enough or brave enough to go into the water. Some people these days get their babies and just throw them into the pool. They think that's a way to teach them, but generally we go in very tentatively. I know that when I was very little, I think I was only about 5. And I remember very, very clearly going down to the beach, or I only remember being at the beach with, and someone, my auntie had given me this big beach ball. It was very, very big. And I got into the water and I was holding the beach ball and kicking and paddling. And, of course, people lost sight of me. They were obviously talking on the beach, and out I went. And then suddenly I remember trying to touch the bottom, and I couldn't. And when I looked, I was right down nearly to the end of the pier. And so I panicked, really panicked, and let go of the ball. And water started to come up over my face, and I started to sink very quickly. And praise God, in his providence, there was a man fishing on the end of the pier. And he dove in, and he grabbed me, and he brought me back to shore. Now, the thing is that what would have been best would have been to take me back into the water. But I was growled at for not looking where I was going. Five-year-old, its parents are supposed to be watching children, and children don't understand how the waves take them out. But anyway, I was wrapped up and clothed and taken home. And so as a result, I had a terrible fear of water till I met John. And he used to say to me, get in and put your face in the water. But I had a real fear even to get into the shower and have the water wash on my face. And that was something I really had to break. But you know, that can have a spiritual thing too, that we can become afraid. We can be afraid of going into the unknown, afraid of where we're going. But you see, if we understand it's God that holds the water, it's God that is, it's his spirit at work within us, there is nothing to be afraid of. And so God's calling us to come into this river. But there are many, even today, that will go and put their feet in. And it's nice and refreshing, isn't it, on a hot day, to go in and paddle in the water and put your feet in. But it doesn't bring refreshing to the whole body. It doesn't bring life to us. And then there are others that will go in to their knees and they stand there, and if anyone splashes them, they jump and don't like it. And God sees all of these steps. And there are people then that will go into their waist and they won't go any further. They won't go any further. And then there are those that just dive in. And I remember when I met John, that was really something that got me, because I would very tentatively go to the water and stand and just put my feet in, and he'd just run and jump straight in. And it looked so refreshing and so freeing, but I was afraid. And there are people today that are afraid. They're afraid because their minds are so consumed with things that may happen to them, rather than God wants us to be abandoned and trust him and to go into the water. Now, I believe that God is showing through his word that none of us become saved and just run and thrust in, because that can be a cockiness, or we don't really learn anything. But I believe it needs to be a gradual thing, but it's to be a moving forward thing. It's not to be a, oh, well, I can only stand here and stay there for years and years. I believe God wants us to go in and feel the water. I believe he wants us to feel it around our feet. And then we move in further to our knees, and then we become more and more confident that we come up to our waist, until we get to the place where it's said that it becomes so deep the water would just take us. And you see, that is just so beautiful, because we know we become buoyant in water. And if we give ourselves to the water, when we go right in, the water will keep us up. We will float. We will float, and we will enjoy seeing all the things that God has for us. And you see, in this word, it talks about the river flowing. Everything the river, everything the water touches brings life and growth. The fish live in the sea. They live and they grow. The trees along the banks, the grass, everything. And you see, that talks about life. It talks about evangelism. It talks about us bringing that life, receiving that life firstly, receiving that restoration. And you see, if we only go into our feet, our knees or our waist, we're not going to be fully revived. We're not going to be fully restorated. There's not going to be full reconciliation. The word of God comes to bring truth to us. It comes to bring wholeness to it. It comes to tell us that we need to be obedient to him and do what he calls us to do. Not what our minds are telling us, I'll just have a little bit. We'll never receive full healing. If you want healing in any way today, we need to be in the river. We need to have that Spirit of God overflow us. We need to be totally abandoned to it. Not in their fright and lashing and thrashing around, but giving ourselves to the river. And that's how I learned. John used to say to me, just float. Just float. And so before I learned to swim, before I became confident, I'd lay back and I'd float. And it gave me such confidence to know that if I laid back and held my body in a certain way, that the water would hold me and I wouldn't sink. And it's beautiful to look up at the sky and to be just caught up in that wonderful thing. And even today, while I can swim, I'm not a wonderful swimmer and I don't look that pretty when I'm swimming, but I can save myself, but I still prefer to float. I love to lay back, just lay back in that. And you see, that's what God is calling us. Enter into this river. Let it overflow you. Lay back in it. Enjoy it. Rest in it. And you see, the healing comes in. When you're laying and you're floating in that river, there's no struggle. The water's holding you. The water's keeping you. The water's saving you. The water's refreshing you. What a beautiful picture of coming into the presence of God and allowing His Spirit to do that to you. And so first it will bring restoration. Jesus came to restore us. He came to heal us. He came to make us whole. And then it speaks about healing, healing of emotions. It speaks about healing of pain, healing of suffering, healing of sickness, whatever the healing is that you need. It talks about refreshing and then, of course, that abundant life. It gives us that abundance. Isn't it beautiful when you come out of the water? Don't you feel fresh? Don't you feel fresh and wonderful? It's significant too that when we go through the waters of baptism, that people come out and they say, we know it's only water, but we feel wonderful. We feel fresh. We feel renewed because it's a spiritual thing takes place. And so everything else around us. And you see, when we're in that place, when I'm on my back in that water, whether it's a river or whether it's a sea, the things of this earth grow strangely dim as we focus on Him, as we focus on Him. Jesus didn't bring us into life to the cross to keep us bound up with fear and anxieties, to bring us puzzles in this world. He brought us to freedom. You know, the cross of Jesus is not about sin only. It's about life. It's about bringing us to life. And salvation is bringing us to see a Saviour. But as we get into that river, we see Him as our Lord, as our life. He's my life. He's my life. And there is nothing but nothing that He cannot do. But you see, I have to enter in to take it. I have to enter in to know the power of that healing, the power of that restoration, the power. It's speaking about my walk of faith. It's about God's love through His Spirit flowing from His temple, the very throne of God. Is that awesome that God would care so much about little me, little you, that He would send this from His very heart? And the second thing is that healing comes. Every part that the river touches, every part the Spirit moves into will bring healing. You can say to me, but this is too hard. This is too hard. There is nothing we heard this morning that is too hard for God. It can be hard for us when we struggle in our own strength. It can be hard for us when we're standing just in the shallows, like the little children, just with our feet in. We can't imagine. You've got to go in. You've got to go in to experience the fullness, to experience the buoyancy, to experience the refreshing and the wholeness. That's when you see the possibilities in God. That's when you see the perfection of Him and the ability of Him to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, but according to His power, this Spirit that's at work within us, this Spirit that will overflow us and comfort us and take us to where God wants us to be. You see, when we're just in by our feet, when we're in by our waist, we're still in control. I'm still in control. I can still move around. I can still come out when I want to. I can still pull back and recoil from the splashes and the waves that come. But when I go in and I'm totally submerged, I'm giving my control over. I'm giving my control over to Him so that He would have His way with me. And that's what God wants for His body today. He wants for each one of us individually to let go and let Him. He wants Him to be in control. For He's the only one that knows the way. He knows the plans. As we heard yesterday at the wedding about Chloe and Brendan, and it's not about them today, but just as an example about how they got together and all these things. You see, man had nothing to do with that. The same as man had nothing to do with you about where you are today. God is the one who leads us. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who brings us to where we are today, and we need to trust Him for that. and know that he is capable of doing what he says he would do. The Lord desires then to use us, just like the river, as we are filled, as we let go, as we succumb to the power of the Holy Spirit, then there's a refreshing, there's a flowing over us, and then we become instruments in the Father's hand. And you see, it's not till we know we're washed clean through salvation and then the waters of baptism, but it's as we grow, we become an instrument then of his peace. We become an essence of that river, because we then, when we come, we take that spirit of life with us. And so, as I said, while that word speaks about the shores, about the trees, about so many things, that's us. We're to bring that life-giving flow to others, and how much our world needs it today. How much we need to be instruments of his peace and his life. How much we need to be able to bring a touch, a word, a look. You know, it's very powerful just to look at somebody, not with a compassion of myself, but to know that his spirit is outworking through me. Just to have that look of compassion can bring hope and life into something that is dead and feels lost. And so we need to look forward and know this heavenly temple, this glorious place that the Father, that Jesus has gone ahead to prepare for us. So it's speaking about our eternal dwelling place. But you see, God is now refreshing us and growing us to be fit for that place. It talks about, as I said, walking into the river and not to stand in my strength, but to stand in his. Because while I'm only halfway in the water, I'm still in control. The Spirit of God is saying today, let go your control and take mine. Let me control. Let me steer. Let me take you. Let yourself go to the flow of this river, because the river knows where it's going. We need to know that and to surrender to it. There needs to be a deeper releasing of ourselves. Ask the Lord to take you deeper and deeper into his power, into his refreshing, so that we might know all that he's come. We need to receive his fullness and understand the river in this verse is represent that outpouring of his spirit. And we need to allow the river and his spirit to flow through us, to touch us, to overflowing, so that we might be instruments that he has called us to be. You know, we struggle with many things in life. Many things come upon us that we don't always expect. People experience sickness, disappointments, pain, fear, many, many things, but you see, God is always there to not only be with us, but to take us through it, to take us through it. And when we have that refreshing, when we have that power of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean we don't feel things emotionally, because we do. We'll always have our emotions. We'll always have our thoughts. But the quicker we get in touch with his spiritual power, then we learn to relinquish to that. And then it's times sometimes where we even feel as if we're being carried through, don't we? I know I've spoken to people that have experienced grief. I know Sarah has said to me, it's like you're being carried. But it's the deeper we go into the water, the more we will feel carried in those times. Because there are things that we cannot sustain by ourselves. There are things that are so painful we think we will never get through it. In Galatians 2:20, it says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. What a beautiful scripture. And that's a daily surrender to that power, that Holy Spirit. To know, yes, Christ lives in us, but if he has his dwelling place in us, he will be revealed to us and through us. And how much we need that. The price of progressing is letting go. Are you prepared to let go? Are you prepared to surrender? Are you prepared to keep moving in? Yes, Lord, my ankles. Yes, Lord, my knees. Yes, Lord, my waist. Yes, Lord, all of me. I'm ready to surrender. We need to experience the fuller things of God. There are many frustrations that can come, but he has overcome them all. As we come and know that freedom and that purification, that sanctification, that holiness, not just freedom from sin, but from self. From self. Let go of self. Yield to him. Letting God's word change my desires, my goals, my ambition. We think too much with our minds. We need to be moving in his spirit. We need to take the next step. The river cannot be passed over. It must be entered in. And that's what God showed Ezekiel. It was too deep to pass over. It had to be entered into. We need to enter in to that place where all struggle ends, where self is crucified, where Jesus becomes our Lord, where the Spirit of God controls and guides and directs every move, where we no longer live for ourselves, but for the glory of God. We need to keep walking. We need to keep moving. We need to keep releasing to him. So today, if there is anything that you need, release yourself to the river of life, the Holy Spirit. Allow yourself to be submerged in the love of God that totally, totally holds us. As I've shared many times before, there have been times when things have come into my life and there are things that we can't always answer with our minds. There are things we can't express. But I go into that place, that quiet place, and I'll seek him and seek his will and put away all earthly things, all mindful things, and just seek him, him only. And you know, I think I've shared with you many times where God showed me once, and I keep renewing this, that when I go to my bed some nights, we can be so tired and the old bones can ache or the heart is aching. And I see that God is waiting for me in my bed, and it's like a beating heart, a beating heart. And I go and lay on that beating heart, and I'm completely enveloped by that love, and that restoration and that covering and that strength and that purpose. And then I rise again in the morning feeling refreshed. And that's the only way we can put away the things of yesterday. The word says we're not to carry things of yesterday to today. There is enough for today. We need to put it aside. Not just leave it out there, but take it to him, the cross where he died. And now his spirit will revive us and refresh us. Because the word says there is nothing that is impossible. There's nothing that's too hard. There's no pain. There's no grief. There's no sin. There's no struggle. There is nothing, there's no disappointment that he has not already overcome. Not that he will overcome, he's already overcome. And he wants us to receive that in ourselves and know, yes, not that he can do it, but that he will do it. That he will do it. He died to bring us that hope. He died to bring us that life. He died to give us that Holy Spirit to bring that to us. And so this morning, if there is anything that you need prayer for, please come and avail yourself of prayer. I'm going to close here because I want the music team to take us in or to take us out in worship and really avail of ourselves of that being lost in his spirit. And if you need prayer, please come and we'd be only happy to pray for you. So, Father, I praise you for your grace. I thank you for your word today, your word of life. And I thank you, Lord, that it is your word that will stir hearts. It is your spirit that will minister to each one. I'm just a vessel, Lord, and I pray that I've been obedient to your word and brought your word as you would have it. And I pray, Lord, that you would minister that word, that people would open their hearts to receive what it is that you want to say to each one of us, Lord, for you speak to us all. Speak, Lord, your servant heareth, and that we want to obey and surrender to the power of your spirit, that we might be lost in your love, and that we might have that overcoming power in all things. In Jesus' precious name.